Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, today, the Gazan Health Ministry has announced that more than 42,100 Palestinians have been killed in the territory since the 7th of October 2023. The exact figure is 42,126. And the humanitarian crisis in the north of Gaza is now acute because of an Israeli displacement order, which affects up to about 400,000 people, ordering residents to flee through dangerous routes to already overcrowded areas such as Al-Mawasi in the south. Just before coming on air, I spoke with Sam Rose, who's deputy director with UNRWA in Gaza, and I asked him first to react to the latest death toll figures.
I mean, it's simply horrific. I mean, and really, really difficult to just to get your head around that scale of loss, of carnage, of devastation, and what it means at a human level. I mean, I work for UNRWA, an organization with 12,000 staff, and not a week goes by where we don't lose someone that we know, or friends lose, colleagues lose family members or relatives or colleagues. You know, it's just endless, and the scale of this, I think, is something that we just struggle to get our heads around. I mean, 42,000. Amongst that, it's 11,000-12,000 children. So that's, I mean, that's 30 children every day. That's a classroom full of children every day for a year. And so this doesn't end when the conflict ends. This is a population that is scarred for life and will take decades to get over it. And on top of the loss of life, it's the loss of everything else. I mean, you know, over half of Gaza's buildings have been destroyed. That's homes that families have invested decades in building, in decorating, in furnishing. I mean, yeah. Everything.
So everything is right. There's that mounting death toll, the destruction of infrastructure and buildings and healthcare facilities as well, as you've pointed to. There's also, Sam, the displacement, the multiple displacement. And we're reading of UN officials voicing concerns again today that the Israeli evacuation orders might affect the second phase of the polio vaccination. I mean, is that a possibility in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a major, major concern. I mean, we need peaceful conditions. We need a cessation of hostilities if we're to successfully implement the second round of the campaign, which is due to begin on Monday. We managed to secure that a month ago for the first round of the campaign, but it's fair to say that campaign in northern Gaza is in serious doubt right now, given what we're witnessing, given what we're seeing up there in terms of the scale and the intensity of the airstrikes, the shellings, and the armed clashes across large parts of northern Gaza. So yeah, it is in question right now. We do have serious concerns about our ability to administer it.
So we have numerous recent mass displacement orders or evacuation orders from Israel. I mean, what is the impact of that at this point, Sam, on individuals who have absolutely nothing, are starved, and have nowhere to go to that they feel is safe? What's the impact?
I mean, we can only imagine what the impact is. I mean, these are people who've been displaced multiple times already. On average, people in Gaza have been displaced once a month for the last 12 months, and every time they're displaced, they're worse off, whether it be the physical belongings that they've got, their kind of mental fortitude and sustenance, their mental health is degraded. People are kind of simply exhausted. They have no guarantees that where they're being ordered to go to is going to be a safe zone either. So they're trapped and they're left without any options. And it's for that reason that many people are choosing not to move. They don't know what awaits them where they're being ordered to, and they feel they will die with dignity if they're going to die where they are. So the evacuation orders of a few days ago for the north, ordering people south, we've seen very few people go through that checkpoint. They call ahead, they find out what the conditions down in southern Gaza are, and they decide that they'll take their chances. But people are just beaten down. They're exhausted by it. We can't imagine what you're going through as a family that's been, you know, forcibly displaced 12 times in a year. It's incomprehensible.
So you've heard of that, Sam, that people are choosing now, instead of moving, to stay put and die with dignity.
Yeah, I mean, look, we have 400,000 people who remained in northern Gaza anyway, people who just decided that they would stay where they were. They're done with it. Like I say, no guarantees that where they're going to be moved to is going to be any safer. And there's no places for them to go. We hear stories of families where someone goes ahead to try and find a plot of land on a scrub of beach, and they come back because there's nowhere left. They want to protect their homes. They want to protect their belongings, or else the elderly, the infirm, the hospital patients, the unaccompanied children, the single elderly people who just simply aren't able to move. So it's a mixture of factors. But yeah, several hundred thousand people still up there.
We spoke with a Palestinian Irishman on this programme yesterday, Khalid Al-Astal, who lost his wife and his mother and his brother and a vast number of extended family just in the last year. And he described to us how difficult it was. But we spoke with him a little bit about the geography of Gaza and the evacuation orders, and for the possibility of a number like 400,000 people moving to the centre of Gaza, how difficult that would be. And it's very difficult to get a gauge on that from afar. How could you describe that to us?
Describe where people are being ordered to move to, or just the
possibility of it, given that so many people are in the centre already in Gaza and it seems to be overcrowded.
Well, it's totally overcrowded. There's not a scrap of land that is free. So the idea that people are going to leave where is being bombed to find safety elsewhere, that safety doesn't exist militarily, but it also doesn't exist practically in terms of space. Entire beaches, entire fields of agricultural land are completely overcrowded by tents, by compounds of tents. There's nowhere for these people to go, and the services there are paltry. You know, there's no running water on this scrubland on these beaches. There's no toilets. There's no sewage infrastructure. We do what we can to reorient our services to where people are, but it's very, very difficult. I mean, we get a lot of our water in Gaza from water wells. We can't simply dig another water well in the sand, and trucking water to people is difficult, time consuming, and expensive. So it's a very, very undignified life that people are faced with when they're in these areas. But yeah, just from the practicalities of space, there is literally no room for anyone to go if they're being pushed south.
And then for the injured and people who need medical treatment, there's a targeting of hospitals in the north, and the director of the only major hospital in northern Gaza now, offering specialised care for children, he has described a catastrophic situation as Israeli forces launch new ground assaults and airstrikes in the north and the centre of the territory. So an already really difficult situation is getting worse, if that's even imaginable.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to believe that it could be, but I think it is. I mean, the testimony that I think you're referring to by the director of the Kamal Adwan,
Dr. Hussam Abbasifa, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, harrowing. So any of your listeners who haven't listened to it, I'd encourage them to, but it will be etched on their minds, given what he describes so eloquently, so straightforwardly, so dispassionately. But yeah, there are three hospitals in that part of Gaza. We had a UN mission yesterday to try and evacuate some of the most affected patients to other hospitals in Gaza City. It wasn't possible. So those patients remain there. Hospitals are running out of medicines. They're running out of fuel to power the generators that powers the dialysis machine. These are people who've suffered war-related injuries, or just people that suffer regular, you know, conditions that need hospital care, the normal people who would be intensive care anywhere. And it's the primary healthcare facilities as well. It's the malnutrition treatment services that are being provided for children up there. Those can't continue either. But look, people are struggling for bread right now. They're struggling for absolutely everything amidst some of the most fierce bombardment we've seen since October. And of course, people are a year worse off than they were last October, given what they've gone through. And I mean that in terms of reserves of food, reserves of water, reserves of money, but also, you know, immune systems and mental fortitude. People are just beaten down into a pulp.
Sam Rose of UNRWA in Gaza, I really appreciate you talking to us on the program.
Thanks a lot.